Could you present us the text that you're going to read us?
It's a piece of paper that my mom researched and found and gave it to me. And at the top it says, this earth is precious. And it's a statement that was given by Chief Seattle to the leader of the U.S. government in answer to wanting to buy our land from us. I know when I read it, it hits home hard for me. Because it pretty much says exactly how we feel about our Mother Earth. And I'll start reading it. How can you buy or sell the sky, the warmth of the land? The idea is strange to us. If we do not own the freshness of the air and the sparkle of the water, how can you buy them? Every part of this earth is sacred to my people. Every shining pine needle, every sandy shore, every mist in the dark woods, every clearing and humming insect is holy in the memory and experience of my people. The sap which courses through the trees carries the memories of the red man. The white man's dead forget the country of their birth when they go to walk among the stars. Our dead never forget this beautiful earth. For it is the mother of the red man. We are part of the earth and it is part of us. The perfumed flowers are our sisters. The deer, the horse, the great eagle. These are our brothers. The rocky crests, the juices in the meadows, the body heat of the pony and man, all belong to the same family. So when the great chief in Washington sends word that he wishes to buy our land, he asks much of us. The great chief sends word he will reserve us a place so that we can live comfortably to ourselves. He will be our father and we will be his children. So we will consider your offer to buy our land, but it will not be easy, for this land is sacred to us. This shining water that moves in the streams and rivers is not just water, but the blood of our ancestors. If we sell you land, you must remember that it is sacred, and you must teach your children that it is sacred and that each ghostly reflection in the clear water of the lakes tells of events and memories in the life of my people. The water's murmur is the voice of my father's father. The rivers are our brothers. They quench our thirst. The rivers carry our canoes and feed our children. If we sell you our land, you must remember and teach your children that the rivers are our brothers and yours, and you must henceforth give the rivers the kindness you would give any brother. We know that the white man does not understand our ways. One portion of land is the same to him as the next, for he is a stranger who comes in the night and takes from the land whatever he needs. The earth is not his brother, but his enemy, and when he has conquered it, he moves on. He leaves his father's graves behind, and he does not care. He kidnaps the earth from his children, and he does not care. His father's grave and his children's birthright are forgotten. He treats his mother the earth and his brother the sky as things to be bought, plundered and sold like sheep or bright beads. His appetite will devour the earth and leave behind only a desert. I do not know. Our ways are different from your ways. The sight of your cities pains the eyes of the red man. But perhaps it is because the red man is a savage and does not understand. There is no quiet place in the white man's cities. No place to hear the unfurling of leaves in spring, or the rustle of an insect's wings, but perhaps it is because I am a savage and do not understand. The clatter only seems to insult the ears, and what is there to life if a man cannot hear the lonely cry of the whippoorwill or the arguments of the frogs around a pond at night? I am a red man and do not understand. The Indian prefers the soft sound of the wind darting over the face of a pond and the smell of the wind itself, cleaned by a midday rain or scented with the pinyon pine. The air is precious to the red man, for all things share the same breath. The beast, the tree, the man, they all share the same breath. The white man does not seem to notice the air he breathes. Like a man dying for many days, he is numb to the stench. But if we sell you our land, you must remember that the air is precious to us, that the air shares its spirit with all the life it supports. The wind that gave our grandfather his first breath also receives his last sigh. And if we sell you our land, you must keep it apart and sacred as a place where even the white man can go to taste the wind that is sweetened by the meadow's flowers. So we will consider your offer to buy our land. If we decide to accept, I will make one condition. The white man must treat the beasts of this land as his brothers. I am a savage and do not understand any other way. I have seen 1,000 rotting buffaloes on the prairie left by the white man who shot them from a passing train. I am a savage and do not understand how the smoking iron horse can be more important than the buffalo that we kill only to stay alive. What is man without the beasts? If all the beasts were gone, man would die from a great loneliness of spirit. Or whatever happens to the beasts soon happens to man. All things are connected. You must teach your children that the ground beneath their feet is the ashes of your grandfathers, so that they will respect the land. Tell your children that the earth is rich with the lives of our kin. Teach your children what we have taught our children, that the earth is our mother. Whatever befalls the earth befalls the sons of the earth. If men spit upon the ground, they spit upon themselves. This we know. The earth does not belong to man. Man belongs to the earth. This we know. All things are connected like the blood which unites one family. All things are connected. Whatever befalls the earth befalls the sons of the earth. Man did not weave the web of life. He is merely a strand in it. Whatever he does to the web, he does to himself. Even the white man, whose God walks and talks with him as friend to friend, cannot be exempt from the common destiny. We may be brothers after all. We shall see. One thing we know, which the white man may one day discover, our God is the same God. You may think now that you own him as you wish to own our land, but you cannot. He is the God of man, and his compassion is equal for the red man and the white. This earth is precious to him, and to harm the earth is to heap contempt on its creator. The whites too shall pass, perhaps sooner than all other tribes. Contaminate your bed, and you will one night suffocate in your own waste. But in your perishing you will shine brightly, fired by the strength of the God who brought you to this land and for some special purpose, gave you dominion over this land and over the red man. That destiny is a mystery to us, for we do not understand. When the buffalo are all slaughtered, the wild horses are tamed, the secret corners of the forest heavy with the scent of many men, in the view of the ripe hills blotted by talking wires. Where is the thicket? Gone. Where is the eagle? Gone. It's the end of living and the beginning of survival. And I think that's pretty much how all our people feel about our Mother Earth. If we all don't come together to save Mother Earth, it won't be just the red man that'll be gone, it'll be everybody.
He talks of selling the land to white men still?
No, he was talking about how the concept of buying and selling land is totally strange to us. Mm-hmm. We've never heard of the concept of owning land. To us, it's Mother Earth that owns us. Because without her, we wouldn't be here.
Because when he says, we will sell this land at one condition, that you consider the beast as your brothers?
He's trying to tell them that they can live here with us, but they have to respect Mother Earth and treat her the same way we did, and not rip her up and take all the resources and destroy the land. They've become greedy for money and they want to control everything. They don't realize that money is only a piece of paper with ink on it. And people don't need money to survive. All they need is the land. You can live off the land forever. You can be a millionaire and lose all that money in a day. Then what are you going to do for food? But if you still have your land, you can live off of it and grow food and hunt forever. Money doesn't have any meaning to me at all. If I live the rest of my life and never see money again, I'd be happy. Because without money, then there's no more rich or poor. And we never had that before they came here with their governments and their monetary systems. We lived by trade with each other. There was no such thing as any monetary value on anything.
Who was the chief, Seattle?
I know he was one of the most famous chiefs of our native people. And the statement that I read was given from him in 1854. This statement was made in 1854.
Didn't change from then.
No, it's a statement that still holds true even to this day. Mother Earth really is sacred to our people, and we don't want to see it destroyed. And we didn't give the government the right to come here and take it from us. And we didn't give them the right to destroy it. And just like the animals that are becoming extinct and not gone forever, that's what they're doing to some of our people too. All because they want to have control of everything. And that's not the way our people were meant to live. We were all meant to live as equals, together, in peace. And all of us work together and keep Mother Earth so that we can live here forever. I think the time has come for all of the traditional people around the whole world to stand up and tell these governments that we've had enough. Because if we don't, it's going to be too late for everybody.
Just as this text says, like, so far ago.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think we can still speak with the government and tell him our disapprobation? If it has been said so long ago, do you think it's still possible that they understand?
I think they know, but they just refuse to recognize any of our rights because they don't care. They don't want equality for everybody. They would rather rule everybody so they don't have to do anything. They can just control everything and do nothing. We can't save our Mother Earth, but it's going to take all of our people to do it, all together. And I really believe that everybody can live together in peace.
Even the one that controls?
It's the governments are the ones that are stopping it from happening.
I find it also has a lot of influence in our relations. So the people that are governing each other, even if they're not working for government, do you think we can work and fight with those people?
I think they're going to have a hard time understanding it, but they're going to have to. Because I don't think it's a fight for the next 7 generations anymore. If we don't do something now, it's a fight for all of the generations to come. Because it'll be gone. All of it. Now is the time when everybody has to start standing together.
Do you feel it happening?
I do think it's starting to happen. Because as long as all of our people continue to fight the government on our own little pieces of land, they're just going to continue to keep stealing it from us and taking it. But if we all stand together and fight for our land all at once as a voice of one, then we can make them recognize our agreements and live up to them.
But do you think we need them to recognize, or that they agree with us?
They need to recognize it, and I think they already know that they don't have the right to be here, and that's why they're afraid. They don't want to see the Iroquois Confederacy come back together, because if it does and it becomes stronger than it was before and becomes what it was meant to be, then they will be forced to give us back our land and everything that they've taken from us.
You think we're at a point where we'd need to force them?
We're at a point now where every time we use violence, they use it as an excuse to throw us in jail. We need to have all of our people come together, the ones that really do want to have peace, because I know there's a lot of them. We just have to get them to believe too and get them to stand up with us. And the only reason they're afraid is because of all these government tactics that are designed to intimidate them and keep them from...
And the developers, I find also, and the bosses, and the police. What do you do of them? Do you think they can join this fight?
That remains to be seen. But I think that they can. If they can be made to see what's really happened, before all of these governments were sent out by England, we never had any boundaries. There were no countries at all. They were the ones that made the borders, made the countries, and then started making them believe that if they didn't defend their country against a neighboring country, that they were going to be taken over and conquered. When that's not the truth at all, it's just these people running these governments trying to convince us that it's each other trying to steal our land. And a lot of our people are killing each other for no reason at all, just because our governments have got them brainwashed into thinking that if they don't, they're going to die themselves. And all it is the government's convincing us of that so that they don't have to kill the traditional people off. They're all doing it themselves. People are shooting at each other every day in wars, people that don't even know each other. How do they know they wouldn't be best friends if they were living somewhere else? But they're shooting at each other because their government tells them that that's what they have to do.
And what do you think of the fact that there's some of your people that prefer to negotiate with the government?
I don't think they understand that there's no way we can negotiate with the government, provincial or federal, because it's the Canadian government that wants us out of here in the first place. So how are you supposed to fight a government in their own court system when it's designed to get rid of you in the first place? We'll never win. The only way we're going to win is if we force it into an international courtroom.
You don't think that the international courtroom would be designed to eradicate the natives of the world? Or
the resistance in general?
The resistance in general, yeah.
Depends on the courtroom and how they define international. Because the UN that they have in New York City is just a phony copycat of what the Confederacy was supposed to be. And to fight in that one is just fighting against the United Nations of governments. That's not a United Nations of people. It's a United Nations of governments designed to oppress the people in the countries where they are.
How we can imagine a real international court of the peoples?
I think that'll happen as everybody does start to wake up and realize that if we don't, there isn't going to be anything left anyway.
Don't you think that when people are going to realize that, they will organize themselves together instead of with judges or with authority?
I think that's a really big possibility. That there'll be so many that they just become their own judicial system, and from now on you will follow the traditional laws, the laws that say that we protect Mother Earth forever so that we can live here and all of the next generations can live here and have everything that we had, all the trees and the animals.
How you can place the struggle here in Tanzania?
The struggle here in Tiandanaga is just a mirror image of the struggle that's happening everywhere else, on every other territory and every other country. They're all doing the same thing to all of our people everywhere. And I think that's why it's going to take all of our people everywhere to stop it.
You said the governments and the colonizers was divide the peoples. Do you think the peoples was a little bit also divided before? Like in the war between nations sometimes?
I think as soon as the white people landed here and realized just how good we did have it here and how well we did get along with Mother Nature, they were jealous and when they saw how strong the Confederacy was and how much stronger it could become, it scared them because they realized just how much power those laws hold. So they took them back to England with them and tried to change them to fit them. And it'll never work for them because they're not using them the right way. They're all backwards. Their laws are designed to make every innocent person guilty until they're proven innocent, where our laws say you're innocent until you're proven guilty.
Can you tell us a bit more about the traditional laws?
Well, we don't believe in persecution of anybody because of what they believe in or what color they are or where they come from. Because if you were to study all of those religions, you'd find out that they all preach the same thing, that we can all live in peace and we can live together, and that it is all about living together in peace to protect Mother Earth so that we'll always have it. And that statement does say it all. Why would the white man be given reign over everybody when he is going to destroy everything with those governments? And it's not even right to say white man either, because it's not the white people. It's the governments that are brainwashing their own people and controlling their own people. And their own people are starting to wake up now too to the reality that all they are is slaves, that they don't have rights, they don't own anything. Anything they do, they have to pay the government for it or ask for permission to do it.
Do you think the traditional laws will be able to stay the same, or they will need to adapt to the actual context?
Our laws were always the same. They were never meant to be changed. They were given to us by the Creator. And that's why when people ask us what our religion is, and we tell them that our laws are our religion, that the laws and religion for us are both one and the same thing. Because if those words were given to us by our Creator, Sungwayar Diesel, and they're from His mouth, then wouldn't those laws also be the religion too? The white governments and their churches, they took them and made them all backwards too. In their system, there's a set of laws and then there's the religion, and they're separate. It's like having two sets of laws and neither one of them works. Where with us, your law being religion.
Do you think that religions can also divide people? Like in both the power of priest against people, and it can be a way to have use and abuse of the people.
Yep, because these churches, some of the things that they teach, they're not right and they're not the laws that we're supposed to live by. They teach you that you can go out there 6 days a week and commit sins against each other and then repent one day a week in a church. And then just turn around and do it again for another 6 days. Where our laws say that you should be good to men every day. There's no days set aside where you can go out and do whatever you want to anybody and hurt them and then come back and repent for it and everything's okay. It doesn't work that way. You're supposed to respect everybody and treat them like family every day, not one day out of seven. They ask us why we don't celebrate Christmas. Why don't they stop and think about what they celebrate Christmas for? It's supposed to be that one day of the year when everybody thinks about peace on earth, goodwill towards man. And they're even taking that away because it's all about money. Making Christmas into a thing where everybody's got to buy gifts and be in debt all year long. So if they ask me why I don't celebrate Christmas, it's because you got one day of the year set aside for peace on earth and goodwill towards men, where we celebrate that every day. So every day is Christmas because every day you're supposed to have peace on earth and goodwill towards men, not just one.
Do you think that a system of laws can choke, in a way, the changements or creativity?
Our laws? Yeah, the way they've been written, they are designed so they never have to be changed. They will always apply. We start changing the laws that were given to us, that would make us not much better than the governments that changed them in the first place. There are processes that you can go through to change a law or add a law, But in order to do that, it has to be agreed upon completely by everyone. No one can just decide to pass a law and then it's there. It has to be completely agreed upon by everyone before it can be.
So it can change if the community feels the need?
As long as everyone is in agreement with it that it needs to be done, yeah, it can be changed. But it has to be done on complete agreement, not by some people that are in power making the change and saying this is what's going to happen.
You think it's a real possibility to create this world? This world where everybody can rule the world together? On peace and quality.
I think that can happen if everybody listens to what their laws are really telling them. And I wouldn't say that it was rule the world, it's to live together in peace and help, and to help protect it so that it's always there forever for all the generations to come. We weren't put here to dig up the resources and kill it and destroy it. We were put here to protect it for everybody else to enjoy that comes after us. We're not here to own anything. We're here to protect it so it'll be here for the next generations to come.
And else means life in general, not only human life.
All life. There wouldn't be anything here without Mother Earth. I'm just happy that you took the time to talk to me. Nyawa. Let's thank you in our language.